You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show, John and Gordy in the morning and the afternoon. And it is a beautiful, pleasant afternoon here in Madison. I'm wondering about everybody up north. You know, they had a lot of snow up there, two
they
or
still
three
have
feet, you know?
Snow on the ground. Yeah.
Brittany Merlot built a little snowman.
Civic meteorologist, yes.
Hate to say what she did to that snowman. Not good. Not good at all.
What are you insinuating?
Just use your imagination. That's okay.
Phone lines are open, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842.
You know, I wish we could have put a stake through the heart of that last story.
Why do you say that?
You know, this is just filling the media. You know, all of the guesses, all of the frightening comments about releasing top secret information and making it available to the Russians at this point, right?
Yeah, right.
And then, of course, carrying out Project 2025. It's their plan to use public apps in order to have these messages disappear automatically. They just get rid of the messaging. And therefore, whatever the government does is not on record.
Yeah.
We can't call them on it.
Exactly.
And, you know, we were warned about this with Project 2025, which, by the way, oddly, Trump did not know anything about. Isn't that just amazing?
He's clueless.
I don't know. I fell for that. No, I didn't. No, I didn't fall for that. But you never know, you know? And so the big other story is winding through the courts right now, and that is the deportation of anybody in this country that the administration doesn't like. They're deported. And they don't have a say. They don't have their day in court. So what we're going to take a look at here is a Daily Show segment that talks about these violent deportations. So let's check it out. It's cut 181, and we'll listen in on their interpretation of the deportations.
I will have that up in 1 second. You said it.
All right, sure.
Repeat the number for me one more time.
Okay, that is 281.
There you go.
281.
We got that.
I've not seen it.
Please stand by. 284, didn't you say?
No, it's 281.
281.
281, yep.
Okay.
Not there.
We're still scanning. Okay.
All right.
In the meantime. Yes.
Yes.
Calvin, I sent you that other email that we were talking about during the break there. So we'll check on that with Jonathan Hansen.
That's right.
The Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee. We hope to talk to him in just a few minutes, as soon as we can make that connection.
I think it'd be good maybe just to take a look at the funding that was cut here in Madison.
Okay, yeah.
Let's take a look at that. This is funding cuts because, get this, they're cutting this program. This is for lunch in schools, and they're hurting farmers doing it. This is because of DEI, if you can even imagine what? What DEI? This is cut 215. Let's play this. This is cut 215. The shared food is canceled now because the government thinks it's wasteful.
Okay.
Channel 15.
Madison-based nonprofit is now out $500,000 amidst sweeping cuts to federal funding.
This letter serves as written notification that the subject agreement between the USDA Agricultural Marketing Service and FairShare CSA Coalition is terminated.
In an email, FairShare CSA Coalition Executive Director Rachel Maysells found out that a $500,000 federal grant had been canceled.
It's shocking to be awarded a grant and feel the lack of support from the USDA when it's for small farmers and for eaters of healthy food.
The reason to revoke diversity, equity, and inclusion.
People want to be able to have access to healthy food no matter what your beliefs are.
The funding was for expanding community-supported agriculture, or CSA. People purchase a share of a farm's produce in advance in exchange for boxes of fresh food throughout the growing season. Sarah Leong is a board member of Fair Share and also runs Squashington Farms in Mount Horeb, a small-scale, certified organic CSA and market farm serving roughly 150 CSA members.
There's a lot of confusion and just lack of information and transparency as to what's going to happen.
She says they're now scrambling for new funding.
It was just a wave of shock and heartbreak.
Having to make committee layoffs, pause marketing resources, educational programming and research, an unstable future for farming.
People are going to need a lot of help.
Deeply rooted in community.
Pretty good. I mean, good coverage.
Yeah.
Great coverage by Channel 15 in Madison.
Right.
And another program that they just thought was wasteful, and it's going to hurt a lot of people. A lot of this stuff really doesn't have to be eliminated. You know, they don't have to cancel this stuff.
Right.
There wasn't a crying need for it. People wanted cheaper eggs.
Yeah.
Cheaper bacon. Well, at least Trump wanted cheaper bacon. I don't know anybody else who was complaining about bacon. But then, you know, gas prices. Now gas prices are high simply because of the change in the fuel quality.
Right. They changed the formula in springtime.
Yeah.
But actually, they started to drop again yesterday.
Yeah.
And today, they're back to where they were. So,
great. Yeah, that's terrific.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is canceled because of DEI,
mm-hmm.
Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Don't know why, how they reasoned that out.
Yeah, what's
they think
the
maybe,
logic there?
What, minorities might have availability to all of this food, you know, this good food? I would think so. But, you know, let's talk about DEI. Do we have anybody on the line?
I think
line
we're just connecting with Jonathan Hansen from the Hunger Food Network.
All right.
Let's see, once we get everything straightened around here. So let's give him another minute here.
Yeah, I've got something from Pete Buttigieg. He dissected what DEI really means, and he said it in a group that is very undecisive about the Democrats at the time. This is on a channel, on YouTube channel, Jubilee. And it's usually one person takes on 20 people who oppose them.
Right.
And this is Pete Buttigieg appealing to these people when he talked about DEI. Let's listen to Cut 211. This is Cut 211. And this Pete Buttigieg describing DEI the way I think everybody should think of it.
So it's become kind of a buzzword. And like most buzzwords, like socialism or a lot of other things get thrown around in the debate. The more it gets thrown around, the less meaning it feels like it has sometimes. Right. So I think it means different things for different people. Actually, if you want to see kind of one of the clearest expressions of the case against DEI, which I strongly disagree with, Jubilee did something with Ben Shapiro, who's a conservative thinker.
Sure. That's the first time I heard it.
OK, so he was attacking it in a way that I think was mistaken. And I'll tell you a little bit of why. First of all, I mean, DEI stands for diversity, equity, inclusion, right? So to me, we start by thinking, okay, what's the opposite of those things? The opposite of diversity is uniformity, right? Mm-hmm. The opposite of equity is inequity. And the opposite of inclusion is exclusion. And I don't know a lot of people who think we'd be better off if our lives had more uniformity, inequity,
exactly.
And exclusion, right? But I think that the part of why people have questions about it that I respect is they're not sure if this is, they're worried about fairness, right? So to me, when you talk about some of these policies, the idea is to make sure everybody gets a seat at the table, especially if you know there have been systematic ways of keeping people from getting a seat at the table over the years, sometimes based on their race, on their religion, on their income, on their background, any number of reasons, sexuality, right? Like a lot of different reasons. And it's about making sure that what we do going forward is fair. So, and this can be an economic issue too. You look at something like redlining. A lot of homeowners, families, would-be homeowners, especially black families, couldn't get homes in certain neighborhoods where the property value started to go up. So even if that happened to a family, I don't know, 50 years ago, their kids are living with the consequences of that now. Because their family has less wealth because they were kept out of a neighborhood where property values were growing,
right?
And so part of it's the idea that some of these things may have started a long time ago. Maybe nobody alive today is responsible for some of the injustice that has shaped what it's like to live in this country right now. If somebody describes it in a way that makes it seem like somebody's getting an unfair advantage and you're not, you're going to be pissed off about that, right?
Right, somebody is.
And I think, by the way, I think that's part of the story he's trying to tell. He's trying to say, you're better off because somebody else, or you're worse off because somebody else is better off.
Right,
that's right.
To me, the whole point of government is to find ways to make more people better off without making people worse off.
Right.
I think good policy does that.
Right.
But he wants it zero sum.
That's right. And, you know, eliminating these programs,
right,
making other people worse off.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other people worse off. Let's go to the phone lines right now. We got Joe on the line.
Yes, Joe is with us. Go ahead with your call, Joe.
Hey, guys. It's really fun to hear you in the afternoon. Todd had described you John and Gordy after dark, and I thought that would be a nice t-shirt, wouldn't it?
I like
that. We'd really have to stay up late for that, but
Yeah, well, 2 o'clock would be after dark for you guys, which I think is really wonderful. And I think there's also a great opportunity to use that coffee man that you have who's constantly screaming about needing coffee, you know, because certainly by this point in the day, you guys need coffee. But I just wanted to make 2 points. I had also called Todd Show to talk about this situation with Hegseth and the wackadoodle way they've been dealing with that and the tie to the Steve Wyckoff, who was in Russia during that time, and it's just like, you put your phone back in the hotel or what? What are the points that people made about all this? Since they were doing this on a phone with the signal rather than going into a skiff, you know, someplace that's secured, and you can't bring phones into a skiff. The deal is, you know, that's not, you can't have classified material go that way. Somebody pointed out, since they were working with phones and signal, what if they had lost their phone? Or what if they missed, you know, somebody stole their phone?
I mean,
here's a simple way that things could have gone wrong. And I really enjoyed Pete Hegseth and his lines talking about how this never happened and that Goldberg was a deceitful man discredited. And and at the same time, the White House and the National Security Council came out and said, it really did happen. We're really sorry about that. You know, and there were screenshots from the reporters. So here is this guy bad-mouthing the reporter when he is just lying on his – just lying like a rug, you know. Yeah. The reporter is deceitful. No. And he said, we didn't text war plans. Clearly you did. You texted plans that included the time. It included – with the bombing included the sequence of events and it included locations. What are we missing here? That's not part of a war plan. So at any rate, I think that we've just started with this and you're going to need a lot of coffee to get through this, guys. So I would suggest doubling up.
I had to pull myself away from the computer because I kept finding cut after cut after cut. I wanted to
more
put
stories,
on more in-depth looks at this debacle.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it.
Joe, thank you for that call. Yeah. We have now made the connection here with Jonathan Hansen. He is with the Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee. Thank you for joining us here this afternoon, Jonathan. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, guys. Appreciate being here.
Sure.
So tell us a little bit about the Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee and how some of these federal cuts are affecting what you do and what your mission is. Can you give us a little overview?
Hunger Task Force is Milwaukee's free and local food bank, and we are also Wisconsin's anti-hunger leader. So we take the unique mission of working to not only feed people today through a network of food pantries, soup kitchens, homeless shelters, different food pantry partners across the state, but we also actively advocate to end hunger in our communities through strong federal nutrition programs that includes programs like Food Share here in Wisconsin, school meal programs, WIC, senior nutrition programs, all those programs that help people purchase food, put food on the table, and lift them out of poverty. These are all programs that we focus on as an organization and want to make sure are very strong to keep people healthy and to keep our neighbors fed.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we finally got the connection with you. We're up against a break here, so stay with us, Jonathan, and we'll continue with you in just a moment. It's John and Gordy filling in for Maggie Dawn on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back with Jonathan Hansen from the Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee in just a moment. Stay with us.